Well, two bombshell stories to get to now. What if we told you that the very same organizations facilitating the massive human trafficking, human smuggling operation, and the invasion across the United States borders are also now making record profits, and they're being put in charge of election polling locations? Yes, facilitating our elections in the United States. You can't make this up. And last night, President Trump called out Aurora, Colorado, among other cities, for the violent Venezuelan gangs that have taken over apartment complexes. Watch.
You look at Springfield, Ohio. You look at Aurora in Colorado. They are taking over the towns. They're taking over buildings. They're going in violently. These are the people that she and Biden led into our country, and they're destroying our country. They're dangerous. They're at the highest level of criminality, and we have to get them out. We have to get them out fast.
Of course, this is all being orchestrated and planned, but wait until you hear who used to run Aurora's emergency management services. Again, you can't make all of this up. These stories almost sound made up, but they're true. Joining me now is Ryan Mata. He's an investigative journalist and documentary filmmaker who's uncovered some pretty incredible information. Ryan, great to see you as always, my friend.
Hey, Clayton. Thanks for having me, man. It's an honor to be here.
Well, it's a real treat. First, I want to talk about, because of, you know, news of the day, what happened last night during the Trump presidential debate and when he talked about Aurora, Colorado. We're going to get to the NGOs here in a second, which is in and of itself a bombshell story. But I couldn't believe I was hearing during a presidential debate calling out certain American cities for being overrun with Venezuelan gangs. And of course, you have some information. Let's just talk about Aurora here. What have you uncovered?
Aurora, Colorado. It's funny, Clayton, you start to wonder how all these cities are connected and why specific cities are being affected the way they are, why certain areas are, taking the full brunt of this weaponized mass migration. So I started to dig into Aurora, Colorado, and I started to dig into FEMA because FEMA is where all the NGOs are getting their funding from. So I Googled, you know, who's the director of FEMA? And guess who it is? Deanne Criswell, the director of FEMA. Guess where she used to work at? Guess what her employment was, according to her LinkedIn, Clayton?
I know it sounds made up, but Aurora, it's amazing how all of these stories come back to one, you know, to one place, right?
The emergency manager of the city of Aurora is now the director of FEMA.
So what did she do? Do we, you know, when you look at the pieces that she might have put in place to facilitate these individuals coming out of Denver, moving into the city and then moving into Aurora, are you able to trace back any of these programs, positions that would have allowed these violent individuals to come to Aurora under her watch?
Absolutely, Clayton. We're just getting I literally just uncovered this right before I came on your show. So I'm getting ready to unpack and connect all the dots. But there are several other high level bureaucrats that we can get into that have really phenomenal connections. And I can put all the pieces together for you. So whenever you want to get into those NGOs, we can dive right into it.
Right. So this week we saw Catholic Charities and non-governmental organizations, one of the facilitators of this invasion of these illegal immigrants coming into the United States, among other charities. Catholic Charities has gotten a lot of the attention. They're just one of them. But this week we learned that Catholic Charities was raking in record profits under the Biden administration. Why does a Catholic Charities, a non-governmental organization, suddenly triple its revenue in the past few years under the Biden administration? What reason would they have to be making all of this money? But it's not just Catholic Charities. First of all, let's talk about Catholic Charities and let's talk about some of these other NGOs raking in all of these profits.
So Catholic Charities is one of the main NGOs. They're all over the United States. I would say that they're probably one of the largest migrant NGOs. They're probably responsible for a majority of the damage that's being done to our country. These NGOs operate as the law-breaking arm of the United States government. So our Constitution protects us. Our government is not allowed to do things like aid and abet illegal immigrants that are breaking into our country. So that's where the NGOs come in. The NGOs come in and they fill the role that our government can't do. For example, we have 40,000-bed ICE detention facilities all across America that could be housing these illegal immigrants that are breaking into our country. But they can't do that because it's against the law. So that's where the NGOs come in. So these NGOs are carrying out all the illegal activity that our Constitution prevents our government from carrying out.
Just to be clear, so ICE, as J.J. Carroll, friend of the show, and of course your collaborator on the new documentary that you're working on, has pointed out, these ICE beds are virtually empty, right? So we have facilities across the United States with all of these beds, these ICE detention beds and facilities that are virtually empty. And then these non-governmental organizations, Catholic Charities and others, are then facilitating the transfer of these individuals around the country and basically putting them up in housing and putting them up in hotels, right? So they're not using the ICE beds at all.
Not at all, Clayton. You nailed it right on the head.
It's incredibly disturbing. So let's talk about what, as I mentioned at the beginning here, you've uncovered, and it relates to election and in the polling centers. So you have Catholic Charities raking in huge record numbers of profits. Then your work on the Southwest Key program. So let's unpack this for our audience so they understand, because this can be a little bit convoluted here. But when you understand that these non-governmental organizations are making millions, if not billions of dollars to facilitate this invasion and then also be put in charge of election polling places, this is mind-blowing to me.
Absolutely mind-blowing, Clayton. So let me break this down. So Southwest Key Programs, Endeavor, and Global Refugees, these are three key NGO organizations. Global Refugees, Southwest Key Programs, and Endeavor saw their combined revenue skyrocket from $597 million in 2019 to a whopping $2 billion in 2022. Global Refugees CEO Krish Venga was compensated over $500,000, and the organization received $250 million in federal rewards just in 2022. Now, Endeavors, Inc. skyrocketed. They ranked in $1.5 billion as the CEO, Chip Fungelman, was paid $750,000. The prominent NGO used taxpayer funds to offer migrant children pet therapy, Holocauster therapy, and music therapy, according to Free Press. In 2021, Christy Merrill, a music therapist, right? Their music therapist was paid $533,000 for her services. Most recently, it was revealed the organization Endeavors did 1,625 plant therapy sessions, Clayton. Plant therapy, you heard that right. And 287 pet therapy sessions, 3,985 music therapy sessions. And this was conducted between April of 2021 and March of 2023. Now, let me hit you with Endeavors real quick, and I'll give you back the mic. Endeavors in 2022, federal disclosure, was also paid $5 million to the company to provide full in-doctor and nursing visits, $4.6 million in consultation services, and $1.4 million to attend conferences, and they paid lobbyists $700,000. In 2021, the company spent $8 million on housing migrants in hotels belonging to a specific development company. Southwest Key Programs received nearly $800 million in federal rewards in 2022, and the organization's CEO, Dr. Verreal, was compensated over $1 million last year.
Where are they getting this money from? Why do they need this much money? It's shocking to me. I mean, I think, you know, when I saw that Catholic Charity story just the other day and I saw the amount of revenue that they're raking in, like who's Catholic Charities? Why do they need this much money? What is actually happening here?
Clayton, the more you peel back and you dive into these NGOs, it's absolutely going to blow your mind because everything is connected. So let me throw this one at you, right? We have the director of ORR. Her name is Robin Marcos. She serves as the deputy assistant director to the Secretary for Humanitarian Services and the director of ORR, which is the Office of Refugee Resettlement. Now, she oversees the unaccompanied child programs, and they provide care and custody for unaccompanied migrant children who are referred to ORR's care until they are released to a quote-unquote vetted sponsor. And we know how that goes, right?
Right.
Now, the organization, right, prior to joining ORR, Robin served as the senior director for the IRC, which is another NGO, the International Rescue Committee. This organization specializes in resettlement, asylum, integration programs, and in this role, Robin led a team that supported programming and provided technical assistance across the IRC offices in both the United States and Europe. She also provided oversight to the resettlement support centers in Asia. This location provides overseas processing for inbound refugees into the United States through the U.S. Refugee and Admissions Program. Now, in response to Operation Allies Welcome, Robin led a team of over 400 staff and volunteers that stood up processing facilities in 10 sanctuary cities all across America, where over 77,000 Afghan refugees were processed into America. You remember when that? We were taking all those plane loads of people from Afghanistan? Well, Marcos, here's the kicker. She left the organization in 2017 when she was the vice president of resettlement and migration policies at the IRC. Now, after her departure, she was tapped to join in 2022. She became the senior, she left the IRC's senior director And she was handpicked by the Biden administration to be the director of ORR. Now, Marcos also served as the executive director of the IRC's Phoenix branch for 15 years. She spent 23 years there total. And then she spent another 4 years at another NGO called Church World Services. Let's see if we can connect these dots, right? Between 2021 and 2022, grant spending for these NGOs went from $33 million, Clayton, to $400 million. And this year, in 2023, it jumped to $616 million. So you mean to tell me magically this lady left a $1 million a year salary position at a billion-dollar NGO to come and deal with trafficked children and make $180,000 for our government, but yet the NGOs that she used to work for, their income went from $33 million to up to now $616
million? So dirty. It's all so dirty and dark. Facilitating the, you know, the trafficking of human children throughout the United States, facilitating this under the Department of Homeland Security. That's exactly what's happening here. So the government can sort of wash its hands of it. The Biden administration can say, you know, these are non-governmental organizations carrying out this. So they can kind of step back from this and have sort of plausible deniability, I guess, in all of this. But as you and J.J. Carroll uncovered through different sources, we have a soundbite here that I want to play. Can you explain what we're going to hear here and why this is so damning?
Yeah, Clayton, this is a confidential human source. This is a gentleman that was at the highest level. So in Border Patrol and FBI and all these different organizations, you have GS pay scales, GS 10, 12, 13, 14, all the way up. Well, you can take a specific assignment where you get sent to Washington, D.C., because nobody wants to go to Washington, D.C. You do the assignment for a year, and after you come back, you can pick where you want to go, and you get topped out at the pay scale. So this gentleman went to D.C. He was the man that was writing the checks to the NGOs. Not directly to the NGOs, but he was writing the checks to FEMA. So he's going to explain exactly how that operation works and how our government is actually giving money to these NGOs.
Were you making payments to that Jewish Family Services? Was that your main person, or did you cut checks to Catholic charities?
Sure. The checks were just cashed, or the checks were just approved to pay the non-governmental organizations. FEMA took care of the rest. FEMA was the one, we would all go to the table and everyone would talk and discuss the needs. And if there was objections, people would object and say, well, hold on, we need this over here, we need this over here. Whenever FEMA came to the table, it was always, we need this, we need this, we need this.
It's incredible. So what he's saying here is that he doesn't have to give them directly to the NGOs. They're cutting checks to FEMA, and then FEMA, through whatever sort of backdoor program they're using, is then funneling all of this money to Catholic charities, to Southwest Key Opera, all of these different NGOs throughout the country to facilitate the invasion of the United States with illegal immigration and child trafficking.
Absolutely, Clayton. And not just that, like we had touched on earlier, Southwest Key Programs is now running polling locations in Texas. So the NGO that's been accused of trafficking children is now also in charge of running polling locations, and technically would they be securing our elections? You think the NGOs that are trafficking children are going to be running free and fair elections in America?
This is amazing. So let's put this up here on the screen. You uncovered they're going to be running these polling locations, encouraging people to come out, and they're going to be facilitating this. The same people that are literally bringing, facilitating human trafficking.
You can't make it up, Clayton. And I can't believe that this is not the biggest story in America right now. This is not just me saying this or accusing it. I sent you the links of their personal Facebook page. Posts made by the CEO of Southwest Key Programs, encouraging people to come and vote at their national headquarters located at, and the address is right here on the screen, 6002 Jane Lane in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, these are, you know, these, you know, here's some posts from November of 2022. Here's the president and CEO of Southwest Key Program, encourages you to vote. Get out. Find out more about your polling site and state. Please visit your local county election office and website. So they are, and it says, vote aquí. Vote here. Vote aquí. So this is unbelievable. This is their Facebook page that you have here. I'll put this up on the screen as well. And I mean, We know now that the House of Representatives, we know that Republicans are going to be pushing out polling poll watchers. We just got that news overnight. They're going to be sending out poll watchers and trying to watch and make sure that the voting, you know, these voting in polling locations, that there's transparency and that people aren't being coerced a certain way in which to vote. But this is deeply, deeply important and deeply troubling. Have they responded to any requests about this?
You know, I sent this up the flagpole. I don't want any drop any names, but I sent it to somebody that I know is very high up in the RNC. I haven't heard a word of it since. And I sent this probably, I uncovered this, Clayton, over 4 months ago. And every time I get to get on a show, I try to drop it, but nobody picked it up. And then I show it to you for 1 second. You're like, what the heck? Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for having, you know, speaking about this.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm flabbergasted that Americans are suffering right now, and these non-governmental organizations are getting millions, if not billions of dollars from government funding in order to facilitate the invasion of the United States, to put money towards polling places, election, whatever. I mean, who knows what's going to happen here? Electioneering, we don't know. And the trafficking of children across the United States. It's shocking to me that more people don't know about this. And of course, we recently had a Senate hearing on such corruption, such darkness, and that was suppressed. I mean, did that surprise you at all? A Senate hearing was like blocked and banned on Facebook. It wasn't allowed. You couldn't even really talk about it. It gets suppressed all over the news. When you do stories about it on the big tech platforms, they suppress it and hide it. Does that surprise you at all?
Nope. Catholic Charities has their net worth is $4.7 billion. How is a nonprofit worth $4.7 billion, Clayton? They get government support, $1.4 billion, private donations, $1 billion, other income, $2.2 billion. And they're allowed to hold assets, which means they can hold stocks, they can hold real estate. They don't have to get rid of that at the end of the day or at the end of the year. They just have to have a zero balance in their bank account to be considered an NGO.
Right. Government support, $1.4 billion. Private donations, $1 billion. And other income, $2.2 billion. Other income. It's always curious. I love that the other income column is larger than the other ones, and yet we don't know where that money comes from. It's deeply disturbing. I hope Americans wake up to this. I was really sad. I was actually really sad last night during the presidential debate to have there's almost no discussion about the human trafficking element of this and the NGOs. Nothing about the NGOs came up last night during the presidential debate because, you know, you have hack journalists asking questions from ABC News. What did you want to hear last night during the presidential debate on this subject?
That was it, Clayton. You're 100% right. The child trafficking. I thought that was the most important. We have 325,000 missing children that they've admitted to. And you know, by interviewing us and talking to us, that number is drastically higher than 325,000. But they've openly admitted to losing 325,000 children. Trump could have commanded that whole debate and kept bringing every single question they threw at him right back to that. When are we going to start talking about the 325,000 missing migrant children in America?
Yeah, I think it was a huge missed opportunity last night, and I don't think we're going to have another presidential debate, and this will get swept under the rug once again unless we continue to shine light on it. And what you and JJ are doing is shining a light on it. What we're hoping to do here is shining a light on it. Before we let you go, Ryan, can you tell folks about the documentary that you and JJ, it's a two-piece documentary that you guys have uncovered, because you really started out focusing on the illegal immigration piece, but then the child trafficking, human trafficking became maybe even larger and more important. So can you talk about the two documentaries and how people can find it? Because you guys are about to launch this.
Yes, we are, Clayton. We're launching it on Friday, so I'm super, super excited. You know, we started out on a mission, and the mission was, can we define what is treason? We know that the left is very good at changing the name and changing terminology. They did it with the gain of function and Fauci and everything that they did. So we wanted to ask the question, what is treason? And me and JJ, we're going to go on a mission. We're going to travel across America to the epicenter of this destruction. And we are going to prove to you that this is treason. What's being done to America is treason. Now, in the process, everything that we went to, every site we saw, every person that we interviewed, it all boiled back to child trafficking. It all came back to child trafficking or pedophilia or something of the sort. So in the process, you've met Carlos Arellano and Tara Rodas and several of these other whistleblowers. Well, JJ was really adamant after we started to interview all these other people and connecting those dots. He wanted to hear the full story from the whistleblowers. So we asked if I could set up those interviews. I did. After we finished our trip and we came back and we sat down to edit to make What is Treason invaded, I realized what I had here. And I had enough to tell the entire story of what these children experience as they're being trafficked into America. And because it's so important, nothing matters. I mean, these are God's children, and there's 325,000 of them that we can save, or at the very least, probably 50,000 right now that are in facilities all across America that are sitting and waiting to be sold or handed over to a pedophile, a human trafficker, a drug smuggler, an MS-13 gang member. Right now, we can save at least 50,000 that are in these locations all across America, but we need everybody in America to wake up and realize this is happening. So over the last 25 days, Clayton, listen, we finished filming 25 days ago, and I'm going to deliver a documentary in 4 days. And 25 days later, from start to finish, edited, because that's how important this story is, Clayton. And it's going to shock the world. If people thought Sound of Freedom was hard to watch because of what they were showing, this is going to make Sound of Freedom look like Disney on Ice. It's going to be heartbreaking. And when America sees this, I hope they realize what their government has done to these children.
Well, we thank you for all the hard work that you and JJ have done on this. And we will have it linked up here in the description if people want to go and pre-order the documentary right now and check it out. We'll have that linked up in the show because people need to see this. As hard as it is to watch, we need to see this and wake up. Ryan, great to see you. Thank you for all the incredible work on this.
God bless you, Clayton. Thank you, man.